Well, I must say that so far that's sounding quite good. I thank every listener for joining us in. We've got quite a number of listeners on the stream right now. Welcome to the What a World Show. I'm Donald Newsom. I'm the founder of Blogging Service. And I really would like to take this time to thank each and every one of you for joining us. And Nevin, Prophet Yahweh, I'm really enjoying this discussion, and I am looking forward to it continuing. Anyways, again, this is a new system, and we're just feeling it out and having a little fun here. But we're going to have many, many more shows here in the new future, in the near future, that are going to be live. And we hope that you enjoy this type of a service. It is free and hopefully will always remain free as long as my bank account doesn't run out. But, folks, one thing I want you to be clear on, and that's this. Many people have a lot of different things to say. And as you can see, when you look throughout the world, many people are starting to come into their own with respect to their spirituality, with respect to their awareness as to how things are going politically, with extraterrestrial information. You name it. People are starting to open up their mind and engage themselves. And it's quite a world we're starting to see, and it's going to get a lot faster, a lot more furious, but a lot more fun. So sit back, enjoy the experience. I hope that you'll listen to all the programs we have here on the BBS radio system, and thank you for joining us. I will be turning you back over to Nevin Campanella, your host with What a World, and of course, Prophet Yahweh. But again, they won't be back for a few minutes, so maybe you should just listen to me rant and rave until Nevin gets back here. I love to rant, folks, I really do. I'm joining right now. There's a little discussion board in the chat room if you want to join it. It's on Live Harmony. I've been chatting there with a few good folks. It seems, a few people have a lot of questions, and I certainly don't have all the answers. I wish I did, so maybe those of you that do wouldn't mind joining in there and maybe giving your 2 cents or 3 cents worth. There are a few things that I wanted to discuss real briefly while I had a moment here, and Nevin's not back, and that is Katrina. The one thing about what we're experiencing here, I believe, and I think you're all going to become aware of, these things are going to start happening faster and faster. They're going to start hitting us, I believe, a catastrophe every 2 to 3 weeks somewhere in the world, and they're going to be quite catastrophic. Unfortunately, that's because everybody here in the world envisions something vastly different than what we're experiencing, and of course that change is going to occur rapidly, and it's going to cause a lot of fear and a lot of chaos, and I just hope that people start to become aware that if they look within themselves and they find other people out there that are trying to set themselves on the same sights and the same goals, and we start to work as one with one voice, a lot of this can be alleviated. But the way things seem to be going with our administration and with various administrations throughout the world, it's not really looking good so far. So hopefully that can change. But only time will tell. It's going to be up to you, me, and everybody else to change things. So take an active stand, get involved in what's going on, and let's see if we can't do something together about what's occurring. Thank you again for listening to my rant, and I hope Nevin and Prophet Yahweh are coming back to...
I'm back, Donald.
To the stream.
I'm here. Prophet Yahweh.
Yes, sir.
Those were some really hard questions. There's still many hard ones to come, but we'll just take them one at a time. And we have approximately an hour and 45 minutes left. We left off around the area of mental illness. I think we've pretty much established that yes, you have been diagnosed, yes, you have taken medication, yes, you are receiving payment for it, but you yourself do not believe you're mentally ill. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. Let's get on. You said that your mother is still alive. You kind of inferred that she wasn't in agreement with what you were doing, but does she know specifically about the involvement with UFOs?
Yes, and that did it. I mean, I'm the black sheep of the family. Nobody in the family wants to have anything to do with me because of this, because they think that I'm breaking, they're coming against their Christian religion.
You said you had children. Are they all living with you?
No, they're grown with grandchildren, you know, of my
I see.
They've grown, and every last one, strangely, every last one of them, except for maybe one, is in lasting relationships. When they get with men, they stay with them. That makes me feel good.
So you do have communication with at least some of your children?
Well, I have had communication with them up until recently. They just left here, and they're mad at me now, but they'll get over it.
Well, why are they mad at you?
Because they don't like it because I scream against whoredom, you know, and I get upset when I find out that that they're not living right. They view their dad as somebody who is hard, you know, because I give them hard love, and I don't put up with a lot of madness like a lot of families put up with. I do not believe in unconditional love. That's, to me, that's a stupid love.
I think what you're talking about is tough love. Is that correct?
Yes, and. But, you know, they get over it whenever we have these bouts. And, everything turns back to normal.
In your wanderings, have you ever been homeless?
Big time. The voice that calls itself Yahweh told me that if I wanted to draw close to him, that I had to quit my job at the Department of Mental Health here in Los Angeles County, and go and live on the streets and wait for him to contact me, and I did it. I did it, and it took 3 months. I was completely and totally devastated. You know, I said, well, the voice told me this. I mean, and he gave me all these dreams, and he got me out of here, and he's abandoned me, and then all of a sudden, one day, I was walking down the street, you know, like just so upset at having listened to my dreams, and all of a sudden I felt something pick up on the other end of me, just like you can tell when somebody has picked up on the other end of your telephone line. And it has never been put down. And this voice, I mean, it never has closed this opening into my psyche, and I just felt connected. And all of a sudden this voice started talking to me. It introduced itself as Yahweh, and it talked to me for hours straight.
Website of Bible UFO, mm-hmm. There is a claim made that your real name is Joseph Noah Israel. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, that was my name before I changed it to Prophet Yahweh. I have posted my name.
Wait a minute. I thought your name was Ramon Watkins. Is your legal name Ramon Watkins, or is your legal name Joseph Noah Israel? Which is it?
I was born with the name Ramon Watkins, and in each stage of my development, I chose a different name. I went from Ramon Watkins to Aminadab, Shemua, Yisrael, to Joseph Noah Israel, to Prophet Yahweh, and my legal name by order of court decree is Prophet Yahweh.
Okay, that was one of the things I wanted to clear up.
But as far as that Bible UFO group, I wouldn't be surprised what you'll see on that group, man. You know, that's a group, man, that comes across religious, but, the things that they say and do are so far away from anything religious people would do, you know. I mean, it's as if that group is demonically possessed, the way they lie, distort truth, knowingly tell lies, clearly tell lies, you know, and, you know.
How would we know if you're lying to us this evening about being a prophet?
Well, the thing about it is that the test of the prophet in Deuteronomy 28 is that if the things that the prophet foretells of does not come to pass, then that is somebody that Yahweh has not sent, you know. And so And that's what I do. I prophesy in the name of Yahweh. I prophesy of things that's going to happen before they happen. And I really can't think of any prophecies that I made, as much as I make them, where, you know, one of them didn't come to pass and proved itself false. You know, it may have
came. There was a sort of prophecy about a UFO showing up on a particular date that didn't occur, but we'll get that into a minute. I want to ask you first.
That was my fault.
Okay.
Okay.
At one time, you obviously considered yourself a Christian, but
yes.
That's not very okay. That's not clear at this point. Now you seem to suggest that you are a Jew. Is that correct?
That is correct.
How did this transformation of self-concept come about from Christianity to Judaism? That means you give up the concept of following the path of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Well, first, I found out that the Gospels were forgeries, just complete.
So are you saying that Jesus Christ is not the Messiah?
I'm saying that no person ever born on this earth, I'm saying that the person we call Jesus Christ in the Gospels is a fictional, mythical character, just like Superman, Batman, Captain Crunch, and the rest of the bunch. I'm saying that he's a figment of the imaginations of the early church fathers who compiled the fraudulent gospels. No person ever walked this planet according to what's described in the gospels, and that's a fact amongst learned men.
Okay, over the years, you spent a lot of time preaching Christianity, and many people listened to you because they trusted you. Are you now claiming that all your past preaching as a Christian minister was a lie?
I never preached as a Christian.
So you never preached Christianity?
No. I always preached according to the worship of Yahweh and the way of the original and true nation of Israel.
There are some accusations about you being a racist. Do you hate white people?
No. But I only hate wicked whites, just like I hate wicked blacks. I mean, hey.
But you don't hate all white people.
No, that's a racist. I'm not a racist. I'm a nationalist. You know, most of my hatred is toward my own kind right now because they're the only ones around me. And the good people that out of my people, I love and adore them. But I utterly can't stand a pimp, a drug dealer, a prostitute. I can't stand a child molester. A serial murderer,
Why do you believe that all Christian leaders are child molesters, or do you?
No, I never said that.
Okay.
I said that that the reasons why I said that Christianity, with its vow of celibacy, attracts the homosexual because. Why do you think that, you know, over the last few years, all throughout the earth, it's been revealed about how these priests are sexually molesting the young altar boys and boys in general, sometimes for several generations in a family, and raping the girls. I mean, especially in Boston, and the Catholic Church has almost gone broke with lawsuits, man. I mean, you know,
But you're not saying that. Are you saying all Christian leaders are child molesters or not?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that Christianity attracts the homosexuals and sexual perverts because of their celibacy doctrine. Celibacy does not work with real men. You know, real men.
Well, certainly doesn't work with me.
Yeah, real men are not going to hear nothing about being celibate because that's the first. That's satanic. You know, he gave you your body organs and commanded for us to be fruitful and multiply, man. I mean, like, and then all of a Satan makes us think that he appreciates you living your life breaking that commandment. Come on. No. And also, now, in the Gospels, they portray the Messiah as having homosexual tendencies, okay? And I believe that the reasons why so many Christian priests are, you know, molesting children is because they are aware of those scriptures in the Gospels where it suggested Jesus had homosexual, Jesus had homosexual tendencies. And so,
let's not get into that. We're jumping the gun here on background. We will get to that,
okay.
though.
Okay.
Do you think you've been dealt with unfairly by your friends and family?
Yes, but I feel that it should be expected because they were are in the same satanized state that I was in before I start turning away from going along with how society says I should be and how society says I should think. They don't have that boldness and that courage. Most people tend to accept what's shoved down their throats, you know, rather than rebel against it and end up alienated by everybody. I chose to be alienated.
Do you think you were a victim of a harsh society that has no tolerance for diversity?
No, I think that I'm a victim of Satanism at work in society. See, America was supposed to have been a righteous society, and it was pretty much trying to be, in a sense, as far as morals. I'm talking about morals, you know, and up until the great turnaround started coming, you know, and ever since then, man, this is 166 society, man. I mean, technologically advanced. The greatest nation in the history of the world as far as advancements are concerned, but yet it is also the greatest nation in the history of the world as far as immorality is concerned, and it breeds sickness, it breeds mental illness, it breeds, oh man, the distortion of the thought processes and the tearing away of the souls of humanity, man, was open until, you know, a complete reversal of the mind and the soul until, you know, what's good is called evil and what's evil is called good, you know, and people can't even see it.
Okay, concerning your background only, is there anything you'd like to disclose to the audience that has not been covered by this part of the interview, especially about your background?
Well, I went to prison for my fight against drug dealers. I mean, all of this stuff is, you know, I'm posting to the internet, and that was the proudest moment of my life. You know, I was the only person, except for maybe one person I met out of the many, many thousands that were in there for honorable reasons. You know, everybody else was in there for having hurt somebody from an unrighteous way. I was in there for having hurt somebody from a righteous way. You know, I considered myself a hero. For going to prison after I got to that encounter with the drug dealers, but I don't know anything else that I could say that people.
You think we pretty much covered it then, in terms
yeah,
of
yeah, as far as all the dirt in my life, for all the people that are sitting up listening, you know, and you know,
it's certainly all out there. If anyone has any questions, it's in this interview.
Yeah, well, I tell you one thing. You know, let them tell the negative things of their life. They won't do it because they're cowards. They'll sit back and just hold it all in, let nobody know nothing. But with me, I'm man enough to tell everybody about every aspect of my past. You know, I'm hanging out my dirty laundry. I'm letting it all be known. Anybody that can walk up to the street to me in the streets and ask me anything about my life, I tell them. Because, you know,
well, I'll tell you this. I would go through the interview you are. This has got to be tough, and I don't know of anyone that would be willing to go through this much public disclosure. To your credit, okay, well, since we've covered the background, let's shift now to your involvement with the UFO phenomena itself.
Nevin, let me say this right before we do this. The reason why I'm making everything known now is to disable the work of the forces of evil against me later. You see, all of your religious leaders, they sit up in the pulpit, not all of them, many of them, they sit up in the pulpit and people don't know anything about what they went through in life, what they've done, what their backgrounds are. You know? And see, when the forces of evil start trying to discredit them, they go and reveal their background, things that they don't want people to know or that they fear people finding out. I'm bringing it all out now so that the forces of the evil will try to do whatever they want to discredit me, you know, but it just won't work. It'll be nullified because I discredited myself. And anything they bring up against me later when I come to power, it would be as nothing.
Everything is being recorded. Anyone who has a question can come to this interview. It'll be in archives. I don't know what else you could possibly bring up about your background. Let's get into the UFO phenomenon, because we're going to run out of time here. When did you first become interested in the UFO phenomenon? Give us a time frame. Tell us how it began. You know, all of a sudden you start thinking of spaceships. When?
It was the year 1970. I think it was 79. Oh, man. I was up at night taking care of some business, and I happened to look out the window, and I saw a gigantic something going across the sky, and it went behind the moon, and it stayed. I mean, at the rate it was going across the sky, it should not have taken but maybe 1 second for it to come out the other side, but it didn't come out the other side of the moon. I was listening to a radio show. And I tell you, people start calling in, and it was, I mean, the whole broadcast was just pretty much stopped, and as everybody, you know, was talking about this. And I'm listening. I said, wow, man, everybody else saw it too. And that was the first incident. And then I met a brother named Jacob Israel out of Gary, Indiana, and he started telling me about it, and I thought he was crazy. I separated from him, you know, and since then I've seen, contacted him and told him that I now know he's right. But then it was a book that was out called UFOs in the Bible. And I read maybe a chapter or two, but I said, this author is crazy. But then when I got a Strong's Concordance and I began to read, the descriptions of what I thought were UFOs and spaceships, I was blown away. You know, I mean, like, because I saw that in the Hebrew, they were actually describing glowing vehicles that flew like birds and that had men in them. You know,
could you give us a biblical reference? Where in the Bible does it specifically talk about UFOs?
Well, in 2 Kings, 2 chapter 11, verse, it talks about Elijah and how he was taken off the earth in what's called, in English, it was translated as horses of fire and chariots of fire. But in the Hebrew, when I got my Strong Concordance, and by the way, this is based on the Hebrew definitions of the Strong's Concordance, it described the word fire was pronounced esh. It meant fiery, illuminating, glowing. The word chariot, it meant a vehicle with a driver, and the word sus, and according to the Strong, meant that it skipped as a bird in a rapid flight. And in other words, it was a glowing flying vehicle that Elijah went up into heaven in, and or a fiery flying vehicle that he went up into heaven in, and the way they translated it in English, it was like made it look like something out of Greek or Roman mythology or something. And but in the Hebrew, it was clearly some type of vehicle with a driver that Elijah got in. And it had something about illumination or something that was fiery about it that, as it flew off the earth. And, you know, it's just that clear.
I'm not very knowledgeable about the Bible, but I do recall somewhere, I think in Ezekiel, where I read some passages that certainly seemed to me that he was describing maybe an astronaut of some sort. But we've all seen strange lights in the sky. But at some point, you decided to bring those images into view on demand. Now, I've seen lights in the sky, but I never sat around trying to get them to come. How did you arrive at that, you know, bringing them on demand? What led you to that?
Well, I began to see in the Bible how Moses and Aaron them could, had the power to summon these UFOs and these spaceships and things. I looked at.
Okay, wait a minute. We're going to have an audience here that's going to ask, where in the Bible do Moses and Aaron do this? Could you give us, or not me, but the audience, the chapter or verse of where you believe Moses and Aaron are calling UFOs on demand?
Well, you can look at Numbers, the 20th chapter, verse 6. It talks about how, I think, you know, it is where it talked about how the glory of Yahweh appeared, or the cloud appeared to them as they began to, you know, pray for it, you know, or began to pray. That's just, also, you can look at, let me see, in Second Chronicles. And you will see that when that Solomon prayed, and at the dedication of the temple, and he spread his hands to heaven like I do, and he invoked the power of Yahweh's name, and it said that the glory of Yahweh appeared, and even blasted the sacrifice off of the altar, you know. And so there are a number of different places in the scriptures that talk about UFOs and how they are coordinated either by on cue or are coming at unawares. But that was Numbers, the 20th chapter, the 6th verse, and Second Chronicles at the dedication of the temple. I forgot the exact chapter, but you know, I said, well, there has to be principles involved in order to cause this to happen. And I studied. I looked up all of the scriptures in the Bible about UFOs and spaceships, you know, in the using the Strong Concordance and going to find the Hebrew and Greek equivalent of the English words to get the meanings to what was said. And I began to draw my conclusions. And the very first time I stepped outside with people to try to do something like this based on what I had studied, it happened, and it just kept happening, and it just kept
on. Tell us about that very first time that you thought of doing it. You know, somewhere in your mind you said to yourself, I can do this. You stepped outside. Describe for us what you went through, what you experienced, and who was there.
Well, you know, at first I wasn't convinced I could do it. I just was taught everybody what I was studying, and I said, and I just felt a strong feeling to take them outside and try
it. You say you're telling everybody. Who is everybody? You have a ministry in front of you of some sort that is...
No, I always had Bible studies with people close to me. I would call people together and say, listen, man, you'd be surprised what I found out. Come over, let's study it. I want to show you this. And they would come. It wouldn't be any more than about maybe 4 or 5 people. But like that day, they came over for several days in a row, and to hear this special discovery I was making about UFOs and spaceships in the Bible. And I started showing them, and I said, "Man, these things will show up." And I said, "You think I'm lying?" They said, "You know, they didn't really say anything." They, you know, but like I said, "All right, let me pray for it." And I prayed, and bingo, we looked up. It was just wow, man! It was just appeared out of nowhere and let us see it. And then I said, let's do it again tomorrow night. They came over with this Bible study. We went back out, and it happened again. And I said, let's do it the next night. They just kept on and just kept on and just kept on. It was about 200 or 300 times that it was appearing, like, within 2 or 3 seconds.
Describe to the audience exactly what was coming. What exactly did you see?
Okay, I would see, like, a ball of what appeared to be a ball of light in the sky, like a circular ball of light. As far away as it is, it would have to have been as big as a house, or it had to be as big as a Volkswagen or a car or something, you know. Sometimes they would be so low we could look and see that they're about as big as a beach ball. It depends on how far out they are. But the most common form of UFOs are what's called the glowing orbs, these flying machines that illuminate, and they just they glow, and they perform exploits, you know. But as time went on, I started seeing structured machines flying, you know, from V-shaped to boomerang-shaped to, clustered.
Are there other people that witness these different shapes besides yourself?
Yes. I mean, I just kept it on ever since 1979, whatever year that was, and it's happened. I lost count at 1,000 and something. I thought it was 1,500 or somewhere in there. It's clearly over 1,000 times that people would. That this is happening, people would see it. I mean, it happened so much until everybody that knew me knew that UFOs were all around me, and they could come to me, and I would summon for them, you know, but I would always tell them, don't tell anyone.
Why? Why would you tell them not to tell anyone?
I was scared. You know, I had been hearing reports about what government do to people like that, and I would tell them, and it was just a thing that we kept secret because I just felt uncomfortable with people that I didn't know coming around me to see what was going on.
When you found out,
what'd you say?
When you found out that you could produce these UFOs, did you think it had something to do with your ministry?
Yes. I felt that it was a sign of what the voice told me. The voice said that I was going to have the most powerful and impactful and stunning ministry of modern times, you know, that was going to make all other ministry, you know, pale by comparison, you know, that my ministry would be a supernatural ministry, a ministry that's based clearly on acts and miracles of the Creator, Yahweh, performing things on my cue, so there'll be no doubt before anybody with an intelligent mind that I am chosen, you know, because my anointing and my consecration and my authority to minister would clearly be connected with the Creator himself. There is no man on this earth that I know of whose ministry, who can say that his ministry was started by the Creator. Every man I know that ministers, he just woke up one day and had a deep thought, and it kept coming or whatever, and they decided that they were going to minister. But their ministry is not started by divine acts of the Creator, clearly and outwardly before everybody, for everybody to see as a sign that this is the man I have chosen for you to listen to.
Can you teach other people to bring or summon UFOs?
Yes, and I was starting off doing that, getting ready to, but I I was documented calling down that UFO for ABC TV 13 here in Las Vegas, I got
don't jump there yet.
Okay.
I
just stopped it because the people, they didn't care anything about me or about the summoning. They were just trying to learn how to do it so they could, for the ego of it, for the glory of it, or for the experience of it, but they were not willing to learn all of the principles and rules and the belief system behind it. In other words, they were saying to me, show me how it's done and forget what you got to say about them. I already have my beliefs about them, and what I believe is not what you believe, and I'm to hell away with what you believe about them. Just show me how you do it. They just wanted to assimilate the mechanics of it into their foreign belief system, a belief system that these things did not originate it with. And I said, man, to hell away with everybody. That's just the way
Would Yahweh allow them to be able to summon UFOs if they did not have your belief?
Yes, I've known it to happen, but it happened once or twice for them. It's nothing that they could be able.
Why does it happen?
Well, it happens because even with the name Yahweh alone, there's power, you know, and the magicians know that's the most powerful name in all of witchcraft in the Western world is Yahweh, that they use to invoke their spells. So, see, you mean just to have the name Yahweh, be it in the wrong belief system or not, automatically makes that belief system more potent.
When you first had this UFO experience where you could summon them, did you just accept it as reality, or did you think you were hallucinating?
I thought I was crazy at first, you know, and I said, how could this be? How could I? Oh, man, wow. I just couldn't believe it. But I was a coward. That was my big problem. I was a coward. I didn't have the courage to stand up and defend what was happening to me and to say it without being fearful.
Who did you tell this to, this ability? Did you discuss it with anyone?
I discussed it with everybody that drew close to me. And if I met a new friend, then I would have to be careful if I would open up and tell them. Because I lost all friends. As soon as I started telling people, I lost them just like I lost my family. I just became a loner at one while. And I was just alone for many, many years. And because every time I started telling people, they would just think I was crazy. And I got upset. And I just, I got upset. And I started, hey, Nevin, I started going up to people. You want to see a UFO? They said, yes. I said, watch this. Bingo, there it is. And they go, oh, my goodness, let me get away from you. I said, yeah, run, go ahead on. Everybody else leaves me. Everybody else think I'm stupid. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I see a guy across the street. I see somebody else. I say, hey, man, come here. Do you believe in UFOs? And he said, no. I said, I can prove they're real. He said, do it. I said, all right, watch this. Bingo, there it is up in the sky, you know. And I said, yeah, take that. Why don't you run, too, just like all the rest? I don't know. I just went on a deep thing, man. But I soon fell out.
Did you immediately see a connection between this skill and religious teachings as found in the Christian Bible?
No, I saw it as found in the Old Testament of the Christian Bible. I have to make that distinction.
Okay, what you're saying is that you do not regard the New Testament as the Bible. You only use the Old Testament. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and parts of Revelation, because Revelation is really an Old Testament book. A lot of people don't know it, you know, but I can, you know, easily show people how to see it. But the thing about it is that you got two books representing two different religions, both of them contradictory, and they both represent two different so-called God creators, and they both have two different formulas for eternal life, and there's no way possible both of them can be real. It just seems to me that the Christian faith is a new latter-day religion that hasn't been existing except for maybe 1,500 to 1,700 years, and that prior to it, nobody ever heard of it. Out of the 4,500 years that man had walked the earth, you know, before it, you know, it's a new creation, and it's the Creator wouldn't have waited till the closing third of human history before he started making his truth known. And I felt that the true religion with the true form, the term for eternal life, had to be the religion of Adam and Noah.
Wait a minute. Hold on 1 second, Prophet Yahweh. You said the closing third. Are you saying on the air tonight that humanity itself is closing? We're coming to an end?
Exactly. But not as far as extinction, but as far as life as we know it. What I'm saying is that in our lifetime, that the Yahweh's Messiah is coming with his angels, and that they're taking over this planet. They're going to gather up all the leaders that have been overseeing this state of death upon all souls, and they're going to put them to death. And they're going to gather all the world's religious leaders and put them to death. And then they're going to gather all of the Luciferians and all of the workers of it, bound by Lucifer's organization on earth, and they're going to put them to death, and they're going to hunt down all practicing homosexuals at the time of their return, all child molesters, all murderers, all serial killers, and everything that every vile characters, the vampires, cannibals, and all of them, they're going to put them to death, and that's going to leave humanity free. And then they're going to...
Okay, I think I opened a Pandora's box here by asking that question. I should have waited, but it was such an obvious question to ask. But I want to cover a little bit, before we get into the spiritual aspect of this, I want to cover a little bit more about the UFO phenomenon itself. You stipulate religious rules must be used for calling UFOs.
Right.
But on your first successful attempt, you couldn't have had a set of summoning rules. Is that correct? I mean, where would you have the rules from? I mean, it's your first time.
Oh, well, the first one I did. See, and I discovered the others as time went on. The first rule is to understand the name, Creator's exact name, and the first rule is to understand that it is nothing satanic and that it is of the Creator. And the thing about it is this: Yahweh's angels are looking for anybody who believes that they are here and that they will send a UFO for them to see. This thing is not limited to just me. I mean, like, I have told people, listen, this is what you do. Go out, scan the skies. Just start scanning the skies and believing and hoping that you're going to see and saying to these beings, I know you're out there, and I believe and I trust you will show me. And I tell them, and you'll see one. It might take a month. It may take longer. Sometimes it might take just a few weeks, and I get a call. Prophet, you won't believe it. It happened. It happened. And not only that, it happened again since then. You know, and so...
You're not alone. There are other people who believe in what's called calling, and they also believe in a... an end of time as we know it, not the end of humanity, but the end of the world as we know it. They do believe that you can go outside, do a calling, and I guess project to these entities, UFOs, whatever they might be. So you're not alone in what you're doing. Other people do it. And you
right.
seem to be suggesting that anyone...
I'm the only man who can do it on cue before people on a consistent basis.
Well, you certainly have practice, that's for sure.
And any man that thinks he can step in my arena and do what I do, he will quickly and be proven wrong, and he will be embarrassed.
For the Bible experts in the audience, before we leave this section, I want to ask you one question. We covered it a little bit, but I need you to get specific here. Exactly what parts of the Bible reveal this information of how to make contact with the UFOs? Give us a chapter and verse here.
Okay. Let me say this here. It's the same rules that we've been hearing all our life. See, it's not about positioning or how you position your body. It's about worship. I worship these beings. I worship Yahweh, and I know he's the creator. I view him as a superhuman being who live on another planet, and I've dedicated my soul to him. That's the key right there, to know the name Yahweh and to have done your study on the name Yahweh and to know it's Yahweh and able to defend the name Yahweh from any other interpretations of some kind of wrong interpretation of the name, and to understand the power of the name and to know how to invoke that power of the name and to be but you have to be a sincere, true worshiper of Yahweh from those perspectives.
It's the intent that counts and not necessarily just the
it's the worship. And then you have to have, like me, I have worshiped Yahweh as a superhuman being. I don't worship him as a spirit. When I think of Yahweh, I don't see a spirit. I see a superhuman being in a temple on another planet with a massive air force all around his temple, and I see his angels coming back and forth and him sitting on a mighty throne, and this is how I worship him. I pledge my devotion to him. I pledge my soul to him, and I have made covenants with him, and I have made sworn oaths with him, and that is the reason why it happens.
You know,
on
you. Sometimes your sworn oaths to him do not seem to reach fruition in the way of a UFO. There are some obvious failures. Let's start with the no-show of October 2000. You stated the following to your group. I'm going to read this to you.
Okay.
Dear List, one thing is for sure in my mind, and that is that NBC station KNAZ-TV Channel 2 in Flagstaff, Arizona, is the first station chosen by these beings I serve to verify beyond any shadow of a doubt that there is life in the universe other than us on Earth. In this matter, we will see if these beings are loyal to their servants and keep their words to them. Also, we'll see if Prophet Yahweh is who he says he is. Now, since there was a no-show, the...
Who says it was a no-show?
Well, that's what I have in my notes, and this is what I'm getting from Alien Resistance. And they say, since there was a no-show, the Alien Resistance Organization logically concluded that you must not be who you say you are because the failed attempt did not bring your cause any attention. How do you respond to that?
It was a show. I mean, okay, this is what happened. I went outside. I went there. And I went outside, and I summoned, and by the time they got out there, it was done. I looked up, and there was a military plane with five spaceships following it on its tail. And I'm sitting there stunned, okay? But by the time everybody come out the station, they came out with an attitude like, oh, man, what in the world are we going out here with this fool for? You know, it was pretty much over. And
so
it didn't
get... You're saying that it wasn't a matter of a no-show. It was simply they showed up too late to see it.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I stood there stunned. You know, I mean, like, I couldn't understand. I said, well, why you didn't wait until they, all of them had got out? But then it later dawned on me, you know, that the reason why he didn't wait is because they were coming out with the wrong attitudes. They acted like they wished I had never come to the station. And so I'm out there, and here I am seeing it, which was a way of me saying, like, it was a way of, the way I interpret that is that, don't worry about it, servant, don't worry about it. They ain't right toward this. They're not right toward this. You know, I mean, like, see, part of the rules of this, that people have to come with the right attitude. They can't come out there, like, with a negative thing about me, so negative you can cut it with a knife. You know, I mean, it got to have. I found out that the setting, I'm held responsible for making sure that the right kind of people are there, and that the people are there have the right attitudes, and that's the way I prep people, prepare people before to come before Yahweh. At first, I was going like then, just going saying, come on, y'all got to see this. Now watch this. Not even thinking about that, man. These people, one, they thought I was a fool. Two, they didn't like Yahweh. They didn't care nothing about him. They wouldn't care. And if they could, three, if they could kill Yahweh, they'd do it thinking that they were doing something great for the God they believed in. And so it wasn't until I started elevating to understanding the crowd psychology that I began weaning people away from my summonings unless I felt like they had the right mindset. But that clearly happened. That happened. Five spaceships on the tail of a vehicle, of a military plane, and then I went, as they started to come out, I said, look, and we looked up and they were gone. And it was
Robert
no
Galloway,
way.
There's the only way that anything can be said to have occurred is if there's a witness. And in the public realm, if the news journalists are not there, no one can conclude that it did happen. But then again, they can't conclude that it didn't happen either.
Yeah, but at the same time, people have to understand that I have been going through a training session all these years. I didn't start this thing out knowing exactly what it's all about. This thing has been nurtured in me, and I have learned by trial and by error. But my errors, I tell you this here, if a UFO does not show up on my queue, it is something wrong with the people there. It's not me. You know, like, I started finding out, like, at some meetings, some guys had been drinking alcohol.
And then in a
dream, I would hear, let nobody come to my summonings under the influence of anything. And so I would write that down. That's a rule, you know. And I feel like, but if everything
we're getting off topic here. Let's get back to the critics themselves. The alien resistance, they did a kind of a fair job in attempting to debunk at the front end, but then, like a lot of critics, they run out of evidence and they resort to flooding everyone with obscure information, especially biblical teachings, which can be interpreted just about any way you want. So I can see that, what everyone is saying is most people don't doubt your ability to call UFOs. Where they start to criticize is when we get into the interpretation of what does this mean. It's not the calling of UFOs that they doubt. I think most people actually do believe that you can summon a UFO. But there are some parts to it that do seem to be odd. Now, as an outside observer, it does appear to me that some of the failed attempts needed an explanation, and you conveniently came up with dissatisfied deities who are in ultimate control of the outcome. In other words, the deities in control are part of what I would call confabulation. In other words, you made it up. Not that you didn't make up the UFOs, but is it possible that you're making up why the UFOs are here?
No, the reason why is because when you see these things and how they appear, it is clear that it is of a high intelligence that's above the intelligence of all of us combined on this earth. Even if it's only a glowing orb, you know, there's an eerie feeling that, man, the intelligence that's responsible for this thing being here has to be magnificent above what we are comprehending. And so now, let me finish. And the thing about it is this, though, Neville, if, since it is clear by everybody who has seen UFOs that they were dealing with some type of high supreme intelligence, then this intelligence would not support a lie.
Why don't you describe for a no-show of...
Did you catch that?
July 15th no-show.
Okay.
There was a time frame you had given. I think between the 15th and the 19th, the UFO would come, but it did not show up. And I think that was in Vegas. Would you describe for us what occurred?
Oh, no, no, no. That UFO did come. I mean...
July.
Okay, let me respond to what I think you're saying. Okay, now, I put out the voice I hear that calls itself Yahweh told me to put out a press release letting everybody know, letting the media know that if they came with their cameras and if they filmed my summons and recorded what I said, you know, in order to bring these sightings down, that they would waste no time, these beings would waste no time in manifesting UFOs. You know, and that it was for the cameras of television stations. It was clear in the very first press release. Okay.
So what you're saying?
I get a call from ABC TV 13 saying, "Oh, really? Well, we want to see." And they picked the time, they picked the place, and it happened. I made history as the first person to be documented calling down UFOs, and it happened again. But they don't even tell you about that one at a separate time on another day. But they didn't even report that one. And then all of a sudden, they get some kind of command from somewhere that was powerful enough and that they respected enough to not even return my calls anymore. They left me out there. And they knew that according to the original press release, that it would be a number of UFOs of varying sorts that would start appearing, culminating in an actual descent of a spacecraft before July 15th. And they knew it was based on them being there with the cameras to film me summoning and to film what I said and to, you know, just film the sighting that came. Those were the conditions.
So what you're saying is the condition was that the UFO would only come if it was going to be filmed.
That was clear. No. Not if it was going to be clear. If they came with their cameras and filmed me make the summons, recorded what I said to bring it down, I mean, in order to for this thing to come down, and film the thing that showed up. That's three things. It was three conditions, and they knew it. And all the talk shows I went on, everything, it was from that standpoint. And I told them that if this thing don't show up, you know, from the perspective that I was speaking of, then I'm a false prophet. But that's how confident I was in it. But then, at that time, the media's pulled. They got a command from somewhere and said, "Don't do it. He's the real deal. Don't have nothing to do. Don't cover him no more. We can't let this get out." And so they banked on people, me looking like a fool or a false prophet to the people since they pulled out. And to the ignorant minds, it worked. But to the intelligent people, they understand. You know, they knew, they looked at the press release. You can get it, and you'll see it was based on cameras being there.
There's no question that there's plenty of film footage of those UFOs. As to why they occur, why don't they occur, that's something else we're going to cover in the next section. We'll get into the spiritual aspect of all of this, and then we'll get to your state tour. We have about a little less than an hour left in the show. I've got to take a 10-minute break. Nature's calling. And Don, if you're listening in, could you jump in for us? Prophet Yahweh, my clock says 9:03. I'll be back at in about 10 minutes, around 9:13.
Well, go ahead. And if Donald's not there, I'll talk until you get back.
No, I would prefer that you didn't. I would rather that you take the break and let Don get on the air, okay?
Okay. I mean, but if he don't come, then, hey, I mean,
he'll jump in.
For me.
I would prefer to have quiet air time, okay?
Well, people will log in, and they'll think that the show is not even working. I mean,
no, we've got to take a little break here.
Okay.
Don, are you there?